This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer. We're riding out again, old Dan, at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. We're bringing you the study. We're going to be here for quite a while now. Many, many studies in this book of Revelation. And we're bringing you those studies day by day, praying and hoping that the Lord will, that there'll be a blessing to your heart. And we're looking at the opening now of the, I believe it's the fifth seal that we're looking at now. And we saw that expression there in the ninth verse. John said, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Let's look at that expression, under the altar. He saw the slain of the Lord under the altar. As we have said, this is the burnt altar, the altar of sacrifice. And under this altar he saw the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. This could mean nothing else but these saints, slain saints, are regarded, listen now, they are regarded as a sacrifice, not to make an atonement for sin, but as a poured out drink offering. The first reference to a drink offering is found in Genesis 35:14, which says, Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, or talked with God, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon. The drink offering was made of wine, not to be drunk, but to be poured out. Wine here typifies blood. In Philippians 2:17, let's notice Paul's word. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Which means, even if I'm poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you. Then in 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul, at the end of his life, said, I joy. He said, I joy, for I am ready now to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand, which means I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. Or we could put it like this, that for my life's blood is already being poured out. So these words, under the altar, reveals their sacrifice at the foot of the altar, or that their life's blood was poured out as a result of their testimony for their Lord. I wonder how many of us at this moment are willing for our lives to be poured out in complete sacrifice, and if need be, unto death for our risen Lord. I don't believe many would. Do you? Do you? Can you look around and see many that's dedicated and committed unto the glory of the Lord enough to die for Christ? Or to die for his testimony. I'm literally amazed that those who claim to be saved and the flimsy excuses that they give for not selling out completely unto Christ, the one who redeemed them with his own precious blood, are we willing for our blood to be mingled with the blood, his blood on the sacrificial altar? Are we identified with Christ by blood and by blood redemption, blood relationship? The pastor years ago said, we are yet to see what the Lord will do here at Radio Missions if we, those of us who hear, are here, if we would commit ourselves and give ourselves unto the Lord, even as a drink offering, as being poured out completely, turned over, turn our lives over without thought of tomorrow. The Scripture says, think not what ye shall eat, nor what ye shall drink, nor what ye shall wear. Oh, we don't have that today, do we? No, we're living in a day of shallow religionism. I hear some of the most flimsy excuses. I have folks tell me, well, I couldn't make it to service last night. It looked like it was going to rain, Pastor. It looked like it might blow up a rain. Well, what if it did? The tabernacle don't leak. No, it's not cold in the winter. It's not hot in the summer. What about it? Oh, what a flimsy excuse. Well, like those who were invited to the king's supper, one of them said, well, I bought a piece of land. I got to go see about it. Well, wonder where the land was going to go. It couldn't drift off nowhere. No. He said, I got to go check on my land. Well, he said, beg me be excused. Then he come to the other fellow and he said, well, I done bought me a 5-yoke of oxen. And, I got him in a pen down there on the other side of the creek, and I got to go check on him. He didn't say I got to go feed him. He said I got to see to him. And then, last but not least, this poor old fella, young fella maybe, said, I done married a wife, and I can't come. Well, my friend, what kind of excuse do you have? You who are not saved, what kind of excuse do you have for not coming? Well, I don't think the pastor's being true to me. Well, I'm being true to you. I am. I'm giving my blood, my life's blood, to be true to you. Well, I don't think that so-and-so ought to be playing the piano. Well, that's not any of your business. Well, I don't think he's preaching the gospel. Well, go to hell for your trouble. Listen, my friend, excuses will get you nowhere. Every kind of flimsy excuses that's ever been brought up, I have heard them. And I have seen them in action, because I see folks who are what we call fair weather Christian. They just come when Easter days, Easter time, they come and wear their new high heel shoes and a big hat with a bow on it and a corsage on their bosom, and they don't never see them no more. No, you don't never see them no more. And then when they have a Christmas play or something for the kiddies, they come. Oh, got to see them kiddies. But listen, they don't come no more. What about the other 50 weeks out of the year when the pastor's up there giving his lifeblood and pouring out his soul, that some poor soul might come to know the Lord, giving out, thus saith the Lord, and you staying home watching Gunsmoke? Oh, my friend, listen, the old trailblazer's going to be true to you if it takes a hide off. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big a shot you are. I don't care how little a shot you are. If you're not interested in your soul, then you just have to go on out into eternity. You will. But these people here, whom the Lord saw under the altar, they had given their life blood. Now, he said they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Here we hear the cry for vengeance. They cry to Jehovah God, who sits on the judgment throne. It is a cry of judgment. They send their petition to the throne that was set in heaven for that purpose. No doubt they plead this promise. He will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. They cry unto Jehovah as the sovereign Lord. They call him holy and true. I think about that scene there where we all see those 24 elders crying, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. And I ask my people here, I ask you, do you know that God is holy? Do you know that God is holy? Oh, we've drifted, hadn't we? We have drifted. We don't have anybody that cares about God. We don't have anybody hardly to speak of that cares about their soul. No, we just eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Oh, my friend, listen, that's what we have. You just analyze the situation. Well, sure, I know that the churches are growing by leaps and bounds. I know that. But listen, my friend. I read a statistic the other day from one of the national denominations, and it said that only 5% of their people tithe. 5%. That's why these preachers get on the radio and beg for money. You never hear the old trailblazer doing that, do you? No, because we have a group of folks who love the Lord, who are saved and called of the Lord, and they give of their substance and to get out the gospel, to make the pastor a big shot. No, sir. Pastor drives the same kind of car my folks do. Pastor wears the same kind of suit my folks do. Pastor wears the same set of shoes my folks do. I don't listen, my folks. Listen, the Lord never did set up a hierarchy for your pastor to be some big bishop. So, well, the bishop is not here today. You have to speak to the assistant bishop. We don't have no bishops, my friend. God, that's all satanic. That's all satanic, self-called bishop. Well, the self-called bishop will just wind up in hell, my friend. But listen, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Do you know anything about the holiness of God? I can't explain it. I can't describe it. No. Someone might raise this question. Oh, listen. I thought believers would cry unto God for mercy for their fellow men. But here, they're crying out for vengeance. Remember, my friend, the tribulation period is not a time of grace. It's not a time of grace. First of all, what you think is what, you know, I tell our folks here. I thought this and I thought that. Well, your thoughts are nothing. It mean nothing. But here is not a time of grace anymore. That day is over. And this is a time of judgment. And for the individual who rejected the Son of God, turns to the Antichrist, there's nothing left but judgment. Would you get that? Would you let that soak into your head, in your heart, into your mind? When the tribulation time comes, it's judgment. Judgment. Ichabod written over the door, my friend. Every believer, every born-again believer is in sympathy with God. Take side with God in every judgment, because the judgments of God are righteous altogether. You and I who know the Lord, you tell me you know the Lord? Our sympathy is with the Lord. That's right. Oh, my friends, I see so much going on today in our court system, our judicial system, where these pedophiles and child molesters and rapers and murderers and whoremongers and those who are terrible people come up before some judge and he said, well, we want to plead for mercy. There's no mercy. There's no mercy. Whatever the law says, whatever the system of fines and sentences is, that's what you need to get, fella. That's what you need to get, woman. You pedophile, that's what you need to get. I wish I could be a judge for about 30 minutes for some of these pedophiles that abuse small children. Oh, my friend, don't get the old trailblazer stirred up. I'm righteously indignant, my friend. I am. I can't stand to see a man be turned loose on this country after having served 10, 12 years for molesting some child, and then 3 days out he's molested another little girl and killed her brother and robbed, oh, my friend, robbed those people of their children. My friend, if hell won't be hot enough, go ahead and get rid of him now and send him on to hell. That's where he needs to be anyhow, and that's where he'll be, my friend. Oh, but listen, in the 11th verse there, we're told we're coming down to the close, but we've got a moment. White robe were given to every one of them, which manifested righteousness for honor and reward. Oh, little, white robes, white robes. Did you know every born-again believer is clothed in a white robe? That's what our righteousness signifies, righteousness, my friend. We don't have anything. We don't have anything. When the old prodigal son came home out of the hog pen, his father said to the servant, get the best robe. Get the best robe. I believe it was a white robe. Put it on him. You know what it did? It covered up his sin. Covered up all of his sin. And he said, put a ring on his finger, accepted back into the family, put some shoes on his feet, and then kill a fatted calf. Oh, listen, my friend, that's what's going to happen. How long are we going to sit at the table of God rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing? Oh, I have a picture on my wall of a scene set in heaven with a gracious table with fine silverware and dinnerware set on it, and tables and chairs, and it goes out into the infinity, out into eternity, looks like. And that's where we'll be one day, sitting at that table. The Lord will be at the head of the table. I'm telling you, folks, the old trailblazer, sometime you might think he don't have no sense at all, but I'm looking to go home to be with the Lord. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm just a tenner. I just got a little old tent. That's right. And I just long to see folks turn to the Lord. Look to the Lord. The Lord knows how to save a sinner. Yes, he does. He says, all that come unto me shall in no wise perish. He that believeth not is condemned already. He that believeth not. Do you believe that Christ died for sinners? Oh, my friend, listen. That's the greatest thing in the world, to be saved. Not anything in this world worth going to hell over. Did you know that? Your 401k, your grandchildren, your grandpa, your grandma, your big boat, your yacht, your condo. None of those things are worth going to hell over. And your opinion is not worth it either, my friend. Remember the old trailblazer's address? It's the old trailblazer, post office box, 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.